Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Glad that we have some visitors with us today. And as Tim pointed out, we have a lot on live stream today, I know, due to the certain circumstances. Psalm chapter 1 at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers." Today, for just a few minutes, if you want to do this, I would like you to kind of sit yourself in the seat of the scoffer. I want you to be a little bit critical and skeptical, just in your mind, as I go through some things today. The lesson today is on Jesus. I'm going to talk about what Jesus has to say about himself. Jesus speaking about Jesus. Who is Jesus, according to Jesus? So what we're going to do is look at these claims that Jesus makes about himself. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what they mean. In other words, what do we do with all these claims that Jesus made about himself? How do we deal with those? How do we look at them? We're going to start in Matthew, and all of our lesson this morning will come from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start in chapter 16, starting at verse 13. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" What's interesting about this, and I'm going to make a few comments about these scriptures as we look at them, but clearly one thing that Jesus wanted to know, although he probably knew this, of course, but he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about me?" These disciples didn't say or point to any of the bad things that were being said about him. And there's plenty of that. There are plenty of people who are maybe saying, "Well, he's way too liberal," or "He's way too strict," or "He's too mean," or "He's too soft," or "He doesn't like me," or "He likes the wrong people," stuff like that. Nobody said that. What they did say is, "Well, you are Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets, even maybe Jeremiah, you know, that you've come back." That's one thing. But then Jesus says to Peter, since he pipes up, he says, he goes ahead and confesses, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Jesus says, "Who do people," excuse me, "say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" We'll come back to that at the end, because that's really the question. What do people say about Jesus? Well, people say a lot of things about Jesus. But who do I say Jesus says? And of course, Peter confesses Christ. He says again in verse 16, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." So what would we expect Jesus to do after Peter said that? It depends. If Jesus is just a good moral teacher, if that's all he is, what we would expect him to do is say, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Don't say that about me, the Son of God." But he doesn't say that. He accepts that. He endorses that by saying, "Blessed are you, Peter, for saying that. You're blessed, you're approved for saying that." So what good moral teacher would do that? If that's all he was, who would do that? Put these words in the mouth of anyone else. And you can do this with everything that we read this morning. Put these words in my mouth. If I said that and I accepted someone saying, "Yes, you're the Son of God," how terrible is that? Can you imagine? He didn't do that. A great teacher opens minds, inspires dreams, builds confidence and shines a light on the path towards leading a great life, is what that sign says. And that's pretty easy to validate. We've all had good teachers who maybe have done that for us in many ways. But would a great teacher say the things Jesus said about himself? Would he accept that he's the Son of God? Well, Jesus did. Jesus did exactly that. Turn over to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go through several passages here fairly quickly. Matthew 7, verse 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but to the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will come to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You're sitting there listening as one skeptical, and Jesus says this. Look at it again. We've read this many times. I grew up, this is one of those passages I grew up hearing all the time. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. Okay, well, it gives kind of a general principle. You call God, God. Just because you call him, that doesn't mean that you're going to enter the kingdom of God, because you got to do what he says. But then he says, many will say to me on that day, meaning the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we not do all these things in your name? Then he says of himself, I will say, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. You hear Jesus say that. Pretend you're hearing Jesus say that for the first time. Who is this man who can say this sort of thing, put himself in that position, not to be called Lord, and for people to call him Lord, and then for him to actually be standing in judgment, telling them where they're headed because they didn't do what I said? Put that in the mouth of anybody else. And how would that fly? In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? He demanded, expected obedience for the things that he said, to the things that he said. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. And getting to a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise up, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowds saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Jesus took on himself that authority. He says, your sins are forgiven. Who can say that? The scribes were right. Who can forgive sins but God? Who can do that? Only God can do that. That's the point. Think about it, though. If you're a skeptic and you're hearing this, you would find your place in the place of the scribes here, wouldn't you? That's blasphemy to say, I forgive your sins. I can forgive sins against me, but I can't just say, well, you're forgiven. Carte blanche from all the sins that you've ever committed. That's God's job. But Jesus took that to himself. What was Jesus saying about himself when he said that? Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who sits in heaven. Whoever denies me, I'll deny before God himself. Who says that? Who makes that kind of claim? Who demands that people acknowledge him or confess him? And that if they don't, he is going to go to God personally and say, I deny him because he denied me. Who has the right to say that? John 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we come to Him by confessing Him, meaning that we are open and willing to acknowledge His sonship, the fact that He is God on earth at the time, and that He lived here as God on earth, and that He is God. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. All things have been handed over to me by the Father. Who says that sort of thing? What is He saying? All things. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 30, his statement that follows this statement that all things have been given to the Father, he then says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. All things have been given to me, now you come to me and I'll take your burdens away. Put that in the mouth of somebody, just any person. Even a great, exalted teacher of some kind who says that sort of thing. At the very least, if when you look at verse 28 to 30, if he's not God, that's incredibly arrogant to say that. To come to me and I'll give you rest. I am meek. I mean, what do you think of somebody who comes up and says, you know, I'm really pretty humble. I'm a humble person. That kind of just... it's kind of self-defeating, isn't it? You kind of prove that you're not if you go around saying that sort of thing. We're not looking at the miracles. We're not looking at the parables. We're not looking at anything Jesus did. We're looking at a few passages from one gospel. And these are the things Jesus said. And Matthew has chosen these particular sayings of Jesus in order to convince the Jews that he really is who he was predicted or prophesied to be. We're going to skip some. Go to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Still in Matthew. Verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, Do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you not read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. Here, Jesus is getting the hosannas. We sing a song, Hosanna, once in a while. Adoration to the person that's expressed to. You walked into a room and somebody and a bunch of kids and maybe other people were singing praise to you. How would you take that? What would you think? You deflect that, right? No, I'm not the one. I don't deserve any of that. This is what they did to Jesus. And what did they say? The people were indignant because he was getting this praise. He said, well, you know, out of the mouth of babes. We say that sometimes because they utter truth. They say things that are true. And Jesus accepted that praise. He accepted that. In Matthew chapter 24... verse 35. Very simple little statement here. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He said that about his words. That won't pass away. Yeah, the earth is going to burn up. Everything's going to be lost. Everything's going to go. But not the things that I said. They're going to last like forever. I'm happy. I'm really thrilled if some of you remember what I said at my sermon at by lunchtime. If you remember that for an hour or two, I'm pretty happy. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Who says that sort of thing? Who would claim that? To say, well, what I say And here they are 2,000 years later and we're talking about it. I'm reading his words. And these words were said in order to prove something. Matthew 26, verse 52. I don't know if I got those. We got these out of order a little bit. So we're going to look at 28 to 29 first, and then we come to 52 and 53. So 26, we're looking at 26, 29, because we're talking about the Lord's Supper here. So Jesus is instituting this meal. We're so familiar with these things in verse 26 of chapter 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread after blessing and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he did the same with the cup, talked about the blood of the covenant. Here's the thing. Jesus sat down with his disciples and purposely arranged a meal to remember him by. Again, who does this sort of thing? Can you imagine, even if you knew you're going to die a few days hence, you sit down and you say, "Well, now I'm going to put together a meal, and I want all you kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to remember me actually every first day of the week. I want you to remember me every week by eating this meal." And you gather everybody around and say that. That would be a little bizarre, wouldn't it? If Jesus was just a man, that's what he was doing. He was putting together a meal, and he said, "Remember me. This is, and I'm going to drink it with you later on. This is all for my sake to remember me." If he's not God, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. So those of you who are skeptical about that, think about that. Think about that. Who was Jesus going for there? Whatever he's going for worked. Millions and millions and millions of people have observed the Lord's Supper in honor of what Jesus did, which means millions and millions and millions of people took notice of what he did here and instituted it, and they are adamant about doing it on the first day of the week with other Christians, other people who do that. What is Jesus saying about himself in doing that? In down in 52 to 53, after Peter, we know from John that it's Peter that does this. He, when they come to arrest Jesus, Peter whacks off the ear of a man named Malchus, a servant. Jesus says, verse 52, Matthew 26, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know how many 12 legions of angels are? 12 legions of angels are 72,000 angels. He could have called them down just like that. That's what he said. Now he was either telling the truth or he wasn't. But he said, "I could have done it." I don't know what you would do if you had access to an army of 12,000 plus 72,000 angels. Maybe 80,000 angels, whatever number you want to pull out of the hat. I would be very tempted to call on them at this point when he's being arrested. But that's what Jesus said. He said that's what he could do. What does it say about him? And then there's this in Matthew 28:18. This is the last thing he said to his disciples, at least in recorded in Matthew. There's some other things just before he ascends. But he says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, doesn't that sound like that Jesus is saying he has all authority? That he has universal authority? That he has all of it? If all authority has been given to me, Jesus said, that doesn't leave any for anybody else. Jesus has all authority. So any other authority that exists only exists because Jesus allows it. But my point is, if you're a little bit wondering about who Jesus is and he says this, what does it say? What's your conclusion about Jesus? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, remember when the people heard him preach, they said, He preaches as one with authority, not as the scribes. There was something very early on in Jesus' ministry that they noticed about him. If ordinary people said the things that Jesus said, what would you think? If just some person came along, maybe he's an impressive person one way or another, whatever, educated or not, whatever it is that makes him so impressive, what would you say about a person that said just the things that we've read? And there are so many more we could look at. What would be your conclusion about that person? It seems that you would have to come to some conclusion. Jesus' words about himself force us to ask some questions and make a decision. Was Jesus lying? In each of these cases, he was either telling the truth or he was lying. When he said, "All authority, I have all authority, God's given it to me," he was either telling the truth or he was lying. There's no other way you can approach that unless he was certifiably crazy and he really did think he had all authority, but he didn't. So you have two choices so far. Jesus either lied about all these things he said, or he was just crazy. He was he was delusional. Or he is who he claimed to be. It's interesting that, and idolize these people, but J.R. Tolkien made the argument to C.S. Lewis in debate, and that apparently lasted until 3 a.m. in the morning, that this man wasn't his God, the Son of God, or else he's a liar, a lunatic, or a fraud. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis had several meetings, and this was apparently the one that finally turned C.S. Lewis around from being a theist. He went from being an atheist to a theist to a believer in Jesus as the Son of God. And he made this point a long time ago, that we call it he's a liar, lunatic, or he's the Lord. There's no other option. I will throw in one other thing that I've heard just recently, and it's been out for a while, I guess, but Bart Ehrman, who thinks he's a New Testament scholar, but he's reduced just about everything Jesus said down to just a few words. He says, well, or he was a legend. So he had a legend. If you're going to have the liar, lunatic, or Lord, there's legend. Well, that means that everything in the Bible then is just fiction. If a man's a legend, it means you make him up. Robin Hood is a legend. No matter what you think, he really is. He's a legend. There's stuff written about him, and there's shows, there's movies and things about him, but whether he really existed or not, who knows? Jesus, well, we're saying if we say Jesus was just a legend, that all these people who wrote these Gospels and all the other the prophecies about him and the books and the letters that Paul wrote, all those are just fiction. That's another option, I suppose. Not a very logical one to me. You'd have to throw out everything in history, throw out all the historians and not believe anybody. But is he a liar or a lunatic? Is that what he is? He would have to be if it's not true. So is that? Just think about, this is a trilemma. It's called the trilemma. Because we are kind of forced into making a decision one way or another. Isn't that true? Don't you have to come down to one of these conclusions? You're free. You're free to come to any conclusion you want. Jesus claimed to be God. If his claim was false, and he knew his claim was false, he made a deliberate misrepresentation, therefore he's a liar. He's a demon. He's not to be called a good moral teacher. Because he's not, if that's true. If he did not know his claim was false, he was sincerely deluded. He's a lunatic. Again, you're not going to listen to a lunatic. You don't allow him to teach you things, if that's what he is. If his claim was true, you can accept it and say he's Lord, and then all the manifestations of that in your life, you live it or not. I mean, but you believe it. There are a lot of people, he said, don't call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say. Once you go that direction, now you got to say, well, then I've got to follow him and I need to listen to his words. His words abide forever. He said, he's the Lord, he's God, he's Son of the God, and that's where I've got to go. And I've got to take all the obligation that comes with that and, of course, the blessings that come with that. Or you can reject it. And Jesus said if you reject it, even though you accept that his claims are true, then all you hear is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's where we are. C.S. Lewis, I don't think you can read that, I'll read it, said, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. I agree with that 100%. We can't just write him off as a good teacher like so many other good teachers. That just dehumanizes him. He humanizes him and de-deifies him. He was God of heaven who lived on the earth and taught these things that we spend every week and more in discussing. So we kind of come back to this. Who do people say that I am? But what it comes down to is, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? We have to review this every day of our life. We have to remind ourselves that the person we serve is God, and that he has total control of us, that he must always be sitting on the throne of our heart. Nobody else deserves that place. And though we push him off once in a while, we've got to get him back up there and remember these things. Who do you say that I am? When we come back to this, I want to, by way of invitation, we're going to sing a song in just a minute to encourage us to think about our place in connection with Jesus. Where are we? I'm going to think about that as we sing the song we're going to sing. I never doubted that Jesus was the God, the Son of God. I don't think I ever doubted that. But I didn't decide to get baptized, I think, for a couple of reasons. I thought a lot about why I waited so long, when everybody thought, since I was the son of a preacher, everybody thought I was going to get baptized when I was 12 or something. And it was 17 before I was. And I've run that over my head a lot. And I remember part of it was I didn't want to come down front. And then I thought, well, why didn't I want to come down front? I wanted to come down and sit down. Because that's what everybody's doing in those days. They were all coming up front. They even had little cards that you had to fill out, you know. You want to be baptized, you want to be restored, which means you had to, you know, you'd fallen away, you come back. And the preacher was, they stand there and they, you know, they put their hand in the water and say, there's water back here. There's water back here. Well, it's ready. It's ready. And then sometimes they would stop in the middle of the song and look at you. And I'm getting that age where I don't want to be looked at. I don't want that. And I'm, you know, I didn't do it because I didn't want any attention. I didn't want the attention. That's kind of silly. But that's why I think I didn't. I did that. I thought I had to go down front. I think I had to sit down, and I didn't want that attention. When a couple of people I know, they happen to be my grandkids, got baptized with one or two people in their presence in the middle of the night. And you can do that. That's okay. You can wait and do that. You don't have to. It's great when we love it when somebody comes up and they say, I want to be baptized, and all the little kids come up here and sit around. We move this thing over and we get to watch it and all that. And some people are fine with that, but not me. I was like a little girl who does it. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. So I say all that to say, don't let anything get in your way if you need to make the decision to do what Jesus said to do. He told his disciples to go out and make disciples. If you're a disciple, meaning you're a follower of Jesus, then you're supposed to be baptized. That's the next step. Be baptized. And then you continue to learn from there. You don't have to know everything before you're baptized. Otherwise, why would he say, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you? That comes after that. You need to know enough. Some of the things we talked about today, I think you need to know that. You need to know who Jesus is and be willing to confess him. as the Son of God. If you're willing to do that, then come as we stand and sing.